Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
It's kind of late, isn't it? It's like 11 p.m. Boston time. What are you doing up so late?
I'm not in Boston, Jason.
What?
I'm not in Boston. You should remember this. I am coming to you live from Mumbai, India.
Well, that's unexpected.
I mean, except for the fact that we've talked about it several times.
All right, you've ruined all of my drama. How are things? How's the internet in Mumbai?
It's a little spotty. So here's the interesting thing that I am learning. There is not a lot of deployment for stuff like cable internet or even, you know, other types of like landline-based internet here. It exists, but it's just not, it's not very common, it seems like, from my limited experience so far. So there are some places that have Wi-Fi networks. I think the best I found was there was one that I think was DSL based, but what I'm actually using is this wacky little like USB dongle that plugs in and is essentially a cellular modem. And it's okay. It does not get anywhere near the speeds one would hope of. And in fact, like, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about this in terms of, hearing Tim Cook has talked about India and the opportunities in India a bunch. And one of the things he talks about several times when that comes up is the LTE deployment. And in part, I don't think I have an LTE SIM in my phone. But even if I did, it's very readily apparent that cellular deployment overall still needs some work because it's a fairly large country. And I've got, obviously, there are huge, dense population centers. And in those places, the internet's pretty good, but you're generally getting like 3G speeds, you know, which is fine for looking stuff up. But, you know, when it comes to heavy like bandwidth using tasks, it seems like it's less, you know, it doesn't hold up quite as well. And so places where you think of like, oh, I'll be like, I can go home and I can download the 42 app updates that my iOS, you know, has waiting for me is like, well, except you're still using kind of like a metered 3G internet. So possibly not. So that's kind of interesting and requires a little bit of adjustment in your way of thinking about how you just want to, how you want to do all the tasks you do every day online, because doesn't appear that there's anything like, you know, the kind of unlimited level bandwidth that most of us have, or at least, you know, with thresholds so high we could never reach on our home cable internet. So the last week has been a bit of an adventure in figuring out just sort of how that works. I already exceeded my data limit once because the App Store decided it would try to update everything overnight via the cellular network. And it turned out I had something like 800 megabytes of app updates to run. So that was not great. But it's fortunately, if nothing else, internet is at least pretty cheap over here. So I bought, you know, another gigabyte of data or something for like, I don't know, might have been like $4 or $5. It's been an interesting experience so far.
Yeah, I saw you took a train. I mean, you haven't just been in Mumbai. You did some traveling. I saw pictures in various places. There were monkeys. They were at the Taj Mahal. You were all over the place. So you got to experience sort of roaming and connectivity and all of that throughout, you know, not just plop down in the middle of a city.
Yeah, I mean, the trains go through some just very, you know, rural farmland that's basically, you know, there are some very small villages or even just some houses here and there. And in some of those places, there's no service whatsoever. So you're on a train going through these and you're trying to like, weirdly enough, you're trying to like book a hotel in Germany or something. Don't ask. And you're like, oh, I lost my connection again. Okay. And stuff was very slow and hard to get online. And, I mean, it's again, not hard to see. There's plenty of places in rural US where it's hard enough to find a signal.
Sure.
In rural India, obviously, even more so. So I definitely, and you know what, I have to say the internet is indispensable. You know what the most indispensable tool of my last week here has been, unbelievably enough?
No.
Uber.
Huh.
Yeah. Uber actually has decent saturation, especially in the cities here, at least in several of the, Jaipur, Mumbai, and Delhi all have, like, that's how we get around, use Uber, because it is dirt cheap. I think I calculated it up. I took something like 20 Uber rides, and I had paid roughly $1 per ride, which is kind of crazy. But it's a reliable, easy way to get around. So that really helps. And I spent a lot of time. There are some other services. I mean, TripAdvisor, which is something anybody's travel might be familiar with, which is kind of like Yelp, but for tourists, has been super handy. There's a localish site that's also kind of a Yelp equivalent called Zomato, which is like great for looking up restaurant reviews. And so I spent a lot of time learning to use the tools specific to India, because a lot of the things that we take for granted, again, aren't necessarily things that are used frequently here. So that's been a bit of an adjustment in trying to figure that out. Apple Maps is not good in India. Google Maps is pretty good. So that's, you know, switching back and making sure that I'm using something that can actually find all the places that I'm looking for has been pretty key as well.
So are you ensconced now? Are you in the place where you're going to be using as your base of operations for the next little while?
Yeah, I just got back here last night, and it is, as we record this, it's about 9:40 in the morning here. This is sort of my base of operations, I got a little podcasting nook here. We'll have to see how that goes. I may have to retreat to sort of a cafe to find some better quality Wi-Fi for some of the more bandwidth intensive tasks. Some of this is going to still be an adjustment in figuring out how I can do a lot of the things that I'm used to doing, because with a lot of these things, you know, if you're using a dongle that essentially connects over 3G and has metered data, streaming a bunch of video maybe isn't always the best idea, if you can even access the video sources that you use when you're at home. So for the moment, I'm at my home base. I'll probably be doing a little more traveling, mostly on the weekends. And then I have a couple weeks of more involved traveling coming up in early December before I make my way back home. So this next few weeks are going to be interesting ones.
Well, you'll be happy to know, since this is not just the Six Color Secret podcast, but it's just it's basically our staff meeting. You'll be happy to know I've scheduled guests for a lot of Clockwise. Hopefully your connection can be kind of like it is now, and it'll be solid enough for us to do Clockwise the next few weeks when you're ensconced before you do some extra traveling. So I've been working ahead. I've been trying to get everything set up so that
nice.
all you have to do is show up and do Clockwise, and we did one today, so we got time.
I just missed that one, as I recall. We have been talking about that briefly earlier in the week. Like, I'm like, well, my flight gets in like 45 minutes before you record. As it turns out, it was good that we didn't, since the flight was delayed as I expected it might be. So I'm glad the show went off.
Yeah,
without a hitch.
But I checked your location right before we were about to record, and I said, "Yeah, he's not even location not available, so he's not even."
I was on a plane, probably.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you are. It's funny. So you are 13 and a half hours ahead of me.
I know, it was 12 and a half up until the whole daylight savings time thing, which they don't really do here. So now, yes, right, we're up to 13 and a half, which is a little weird. It's probably easier in some ways for me to communicate with you than it is to the East Coast sometimes.
Well, yeah, you get me. I mean, this is working pretty well. So, I mean, we're talking and it's my evening, it's your morning. So that's kind of fun. And then, you know, when we do Clockwise, it's basically going to be a nighttime, because we do that at 9 Pacific. So it'll be 10:30 p.m. So not, you know, it's late in the evening, but it's doable. And then, you know, and we're done fast with that.
Jason, so when I'm at home, I'm recording incomparable episodes at like 11 p.m. So that's nothing new to me.
Yeah, actually, 10:30 p.m. is the standard incomparable time for East Coasters. So it's pretty much the same.
Yeah. Well, we should get we'll get Mike into the mix, and then we'll have a range of time zones spanning the globe.
Oh my goodness, that would be madness. You know, just go all the way around the globe. Everybody except Australia. Australians can't be on Clockwise because they are asleep. But everybody else is eligible.
That's true. It's it's a wacky world that we live in with time zones. I'm trying to remember if this is the case. I'll have to look this up, but I think India might only be one time zone, which is a little weird.
Did you have any issues with your iPhone? Was your iPhone, did you buy it unlocked when you got it, when I called you at the Apple store? Was that okay?
Yeah, well, I'm on the upgrade plan, and I believe by default, the iPhone upgrade plan is an unlocked phone because you're buying it directly from Apple. And when you set it up, you can choose which vendor you want it to work with. But no problems. I could pop out a SIM. I could pop in a new SIM. And in terms of, like, other than just, like, activating my phone with the local provider, which is Vodafone here in India, Like there was no problem getting that set up. So that was nice. We did have a weird experience in that my friend who was traveling with me decided he wanted to get a SIM as well. And so we went into the Vodafone store the first day. And what I think maybe you've seen a little bit from some of my tweets, I don't know if our listeners are as aware, there's a really weird thing happening in India right now where the Prime Minister, right before we left, discontinued the 500 and 1,000 rupee notes, which is like, kind of like if the U.S. discontinued like a $20 note, like you just said, the $20 bill is no good anymore. If you want to use it, you can turn in like a certain amount of them at the bank and we'll give you new bills, or you can deposit it in the bank. And that's fine. You can deposit as much as you want in the bank. And the reason for that is that there's a huge parallel economy here that operates on cash only and is all sort of under the table. And it fosters a huge amount of corruption. And so what they're trying to do is essentially flush out all those old bills by saying, you can deposit your old bills, but now that's taxable income because it's in your bank account. And if you want, you can turn in, I think, you know, 4,000 rupees worth of these bills, which is about $60. And we'll give you new bills for the moment. And so, you know, to a certain extent, not to say this is a one-time solution, because eventually those will, you know, be the problem will recur again unless there are, you know, alternative forms of payment. But it sort of flushes out these huge backlogs that a lot of people have of all these bills. But what that's meant is that, A, there are huge lines at every single bank and ATM. And that's the ATMs that are not just out of money. And so we have been pretty limited in terms of actually having access to cash, which is okay for the most part. You can get by with credit cards and debit cards, but there are definitely a lot of places where those are not options. And so we've had to occasionally barter with people for, you know, like, can we use these old notes in some places? Like some places that are attached to the government, like some tourist sites, for example, would take them. And some people, you know, would offer you sort of like ad hoc exchange rates, generally not very good ones. Like, oh, you know, we had like a tour guide who was like, well, if you give me $20, I'll give you like 1,200 rupees or something, which is not terrible, but not great either. And so we tried to sort of make do with that where we could be. But it's been very interesting because you'll drive past these lines at the ATMs and banks and they're just huge. It's enormous. So we waited in a line at a bank one day so that we could exchange sort of, you know, some of the older notes that we had. But a lot of times, you know, we've gone to places and we've been like, you know, we can't get any currency, you know, and we can't pay you in cash. And a lot of people just sort of like smile and nod and like, yeah, we understand, you know, that's basically, we're all having troubles with it right now. So it's been a little bit surreal in that regard. Because, you know, I was talking to my girlfriend, and she's like, I always wonder what a bank run looks like. And I feel like it kind of looks a little bit like that, although I guess this is sort of in reverse since people are going in to deposit their money, not withdraw it.
Run into the banks and give them money.
Yeah, but people are in a hurry. Yeah, they really want to do it. So it's been a little tricky to figure out how to deal with that, because at home, you're very used to paying, like, you know, you got stuff like Apple Pay, right? Like, that's not even a thing here. So, you know, electronic payment, there is some electronic payment systems that are kind of popular, but, you know, they are certainly not as widespread, I feel like, as the options at home.
Wow. Well, you're on quite an adventure. It's pretty cool. How are you planning on working? Cause you are planning on, this is, you know, you're there, but you're also going to try to get some work done while you're there. So is the plan to work out of the apartment? Are you going to, you mentioned going to like like cafes, which I know is what you do at home. So what are you thinking of doing there?
I think that working out of cafes is going to be sort of my daily routine, at least, you know, during normal, quote unquote, normal business hours. I mean, fortunately, for stuff that just involves, you know, most of my writing day job, that's totally fine. Like, I need internet access in so far as being able to like look stuff up, research stuff, write stuff, you know, send stuff out. But none of that is super intensive for the most part. And so that should be okay. The podcasting thing, is a little trickier in that it does require a little bit more bandwidth. It does require specific times. And so I'm going to try to make that happen a little bit. I will say that, you know, just I don't know what your experience is on the other end of this call. I feel like your audio is fine. There might be a little latency, which
That's exactly it. Is you sound fine, but there's a big lag.
Yeah, so that's that might make it a little interesting in some of the shows that we do that are a little like Clockwise. I think is probably fine with that because there's not a
we
lot of
turns.
Crosstalk. Yeah, but some of the other shows I do that can definitely be a little more challenging. I'm going to see if I can play around with these little Wi-Fi dongles and get any better speed out of them. Because at one point I saw, these things are so weird because the Mac support for them is existent, but is also just kind of shoddy.
Yeah, so it's just literally a cellular modem that you plug into your USB port, and
far as I can tell, it actually I played around with it a bit last night when I was trying to get it set up, and essentially what it does is creates a modem profile in the network one, so like this old school, like when you used to use your modem to dial up into an internet service via OS X, you can go into the network pane and just see like, yep, there's just like a modem item, and so yeah, that's kind of interesting. This one doesn't seem... The one I'm using... My girlfriend had a couple that she was trying to get set up for me, and the one that I'm using now actually seems to be... I don't even know how it's working. It seems to be doing some more like spoofing an internet address, since it looks like when I go and look in the preferences, it basically looks like an Ethernet interface. But it's clearly wireless, so I don't know exactly what that's doing. This is very... Yeah, it's kind of a brave new world because you think, oh, yeah, I know how all this stuff works. And then you come here and you're like, oh, what? What is this doing? It's not just as easy as like, oh, I'll just turn on my Wi-Fi and select the Wi-Fi. Like that's, you get used to that being so easy. And now you're like, oh, this is a little different.
Well, it looks like you're, I don't know, a mile from the Arabian Sea. You're right there. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's a very big city too, so that's hard to figure out as well in terms of navigating something like Mumbai, which is, you know, got like 12 million people in it. And I've had a lot of conversations with folks locally who have asked like, "Oh, what's the population of like the US like? What are the cities like there?" And I'm always looking around going, "Well, they're way less crowded on average." Even something like, you know, San Francisco or New York, you know, you think you've been there. Like, imagine rush hour in San Francisco, like with people walking to BART or whatever. And you're like, just imagine that's like what it is all the time.
Yeah, it's Mumbai's population is crazy. Is it the, I don't know if it's the largest city in the world. No, I guess not. But it's one of the largest cities. It's like the 10th largest city in the world.
It's in the top 10. It's technically what's considered a mega city, which means a population over 10 million. It is, according to Wikipedia, the 7th largest city in the world. But some of that is a little questionable because, for example, they include New York City ahead of that. But I think that includes like everything in sort of the tri-state area in New York City, like not just New York City itself.
In the metro area.
Right. I mean, you know, the metro area of New York City is obviously much, much smaller. And Mumbai, meanwhile, kind of just is enormous. I mean, so it's hard to figure out exactly where it falls in that. But, you know, Tokyo and Shanghai, I think Tokyo appears to be the most populous, which does not surprise me from what I know. Shanghai as well. It's a different sort of thing, especially because so many of these cities are not laid out in planned city fashions. You know, it's like, you know, European or some later American cities. There are some interesting places. Delhi is interesting in that regard because so much of it was redesigned by the British, the colonials. And so there are large sections of Delhi, which are actually very pleasant and very like, you know, regimented. They have these wide boulevards. They have these tree-lined roads. I mean, it looks a lot like being in a city in Europe. And then you go to the old part of Delhi, which is like where the bazaars are. And it's just like a warren of tiny little streets, like with so narrow that you've got like bicycle rickshaws going down them and cabs like, you know, driving down them. And it's like basically wide enough for maybe like four or five people to walk abreast. So, you know, it's different. Even within India, it's been interesting to experience the different level of different cities and how they're laid out, because it varies widely, it seems.
Wow, that's cool. Well, I'm glad that you're having this adventure, and I'm glad that we are able to actually communicate at all. I'm sure you'll have some interesting things that you'll learn as you go about technical difficulties. But look what we did. We made a Skype call with you in Mumbai and me here, and we managed to hold it for 20 minutes. How about that? I think that's a pretty good step.
That's an achievement. We should pat ourselves on the back for that one.
Yeah. All right. Woo. Global high five. Something like that. All right. Well, you know, we'll talk next week. And I assume you'll get your bearings, and I'll wake up some mornings and there'll be things posted on Six Colors, because we're like, the sun never sets on the Six Colors Empire now, Dan.
Well, we'll have to see if anything, do things actually happen when people are sleeping? That's the real question.
I don't know. Well, you can tell me. You can find out. Keep one eye open.
I guess so.
Keep both eyes open, in fact.
Yeah. It's the only safe way to do it.
You can, but yeah. You'll be on top of everything that happens. You remember that we used to have the Mac User blog. We had Ayush, who would write things in the middle of the night because he was in India. And it's like, there's something to be said for sort of like the world is quiet and you can take your pick of whatever's there. On the other hand, it's a little bit like the Western world becomes like you're playing a turn-based strategy game where like every day is a turn, so you just wait for the next day and see what everybody did while you were sleeping.
Yeah, and it gives you some overlap with some of the, you know, I'm thinking about being in some of the Slack rooms. It's like, oh, I feel like maybe I talk to the British folks a lot more often now because it lines up a little better.
Yeah, yeah, sounds about right. All right. Well, it's great to hear from you. I'm glad you've had such an adventure already so far and such a good time. It was fun watching your tweets and your Instagram pictures, and that train that you rode looked really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I rode several trains, some of which were better than others. I don't recommend sleeping on a train because you will not sleep.
Yeah, that's the impression I got. The sleeper car, don't sleep.
It's not so much.
Just lay down and pretend that you're sleeping.
Yep.
Not for six hours.
It's great.
All right. Well, and it's been about a year since we did the Six Colors membership. So thanks to those of you out there who got your auto renew subscription, maybe if you did an annual, we appreciate your support. You help keep the lights on at Six Colors. And everybody else, if you've got a subscription renewal coming up, please check on it. At some point in the new year, we'll probably change the feed address here just to keep it all on the up and up. But, you know, I'm still thinking about that one. But, you know, we really do appreciate your support. And we do this for members. So if you somehow are listening to this and are not currently a Six Colors member, maybe sign up. We'd like that. We appreciate it. All right, Dan, I was going to tell you to go to bed, but instead I'll tell you have some tea and start your day.
Yeah. Well, I hope you have a good night, and I will, I'll keep an eye on things, Jason,
okay,
while you're off at sleeping.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.